Again, I've had a wonderful day. We had a wonderful breakfast this morning with Pastor and the missionary men. And, well, I won't talk about what we ate. I didn't eat as much as somebody else did. But we had a wonderful, wonderful time and a wonderful challenge. Thank you for challenging us about the importance of taking care of our wives and the family. And we certainly had a wonderful time and a great time. Fellowship. The more I get to know you, Pastor, the more I love him and thank God that he's placed him in this place, and certainly thank God for the friendship. And then got some rest and spent some time with my wife like you told us to do, and then had a great time there with Steve and Lucy. And by the way, I am always blessed to be able to find someone who gives God honor and glory for the blessings of their life. And that's a wonderful, Steve and Lucy are wonderful people. And just a wonderful family, and I certainly enjoyed the fellowship and the meal, and thank you all for serving God. And that really touches my heart. I know what it is to get saved and then be thankful for the wonderful salvation you have, and then realize that you feel sometimes like you're blessed a lot more than you deserve. It ought to be that salvation alone ought to keep us serving till Jesus comes back. And so thank you all for having us and the missionary families. I've enjoyed each of you, and thank you all so much. And, you know, this is what it's all about. We have missions conferences, and it's all about God looking down and finding someone who will care about other people and make themselves available for the work of God. And that all comes through the work of the local church, and I certainly thank you all so much for what you're doing. Looking forward to what God's going to do tomorrow when you decide spiritually what you're going to do for world evangelization. Well, take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter number 1. I told the pastor I was going to preach an hour tonight, which I'm not, but I am going to have you turn to several passages, which I don't do tonight. We're going to have a good time tonight, and I want you to just think tonight for just a few moments here tonight as we are challenged from the Word of God, beginning here in 2 Peter chapter number 1. And once you find your place, if you'd stand with me, I'm going to read several verses, and then we'll have you do a little Bible drill for a few passages here tonight, and then see what God will give us from the Word of God. 2 Peter, chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. You follow along as I read here. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for the grace of God and the mercy that you've shown us far more than we deserve. And we thank you for the opportunity not only to be saved, but then to be used of God in the work of God to help reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for these servants that we've heard tonight and the calling upon their lives, their willingness to be able to go to some part of the world and tell people about the wonderful Savior that we know, Jesus Christ. And I pray you'll bless tonight in a very special way. Thank you for these people who've come out each night to be a part of this service. And I pray that it might not be just a time of hearing a sermon, but I pray you might speak to our hearts in a special way, that we might be knitted together, more determined than ever to give our very best to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now take me as your servant tonight. Cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Simon Peter was one of the inner circle that spent some time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he is writing here in 2 Peter chapter number 1 to Christians who were scattered and facing persecution. Now, Simon Peter wanted people to understand the position that they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes when I find myself facing difficulties in life or wanting to slow down a little bit or something happened, I just focus a little bit on the fact of the position I have in Jesus Christ. I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And by the way, that would do all of us to be able to be thankful for the fact that God reached down and saved our ungodly souls. And then not only after he saved us, but then he allows us to be involved in the work of God. You know, he could have chosen angels to be able to get the gospel around the world. But in his love, he chose people. So here were these Christian people facing persecution, scattered about. And so Simon Peter said, I want to remind you of the position you have in Jesus Christ. First of all, when he saved you, he gave you a precious faith. Thank God tonight that I have a precious faith, and that faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He went on in verse number 3 and said, along with this wonderful position, he's given us the power of God. And that power has given to us eternal life, and you ought to be thankful tonight that no one can take away the salvation you have in Jesus Christ. So we have the power of God. It's power for eternal life, but then he says he also gave us the power of godliness. I'm so thankful tonight that I can live in an ungodly world and say no to Satan, no to sin, and no to self by the power of God. What a great position that we're in. If that's not enough to have a precious faith and the power of God, he says we have the promises of God. As a Christian tonight, the God who saved me has given me a Bible full of promises that I can claim tonight. Now, if that's not enough to have the precious faith and the power of God and the promises of God, after I'm saved, I'm in partnership with Jesus Christ to reach a lost and dying world. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but that's a pretty good start in the Christian life. If I'm not what I need to be tonight, it's not that I haven't gotten a good start. It's not the fault of God. I've got the precious faith and the power of God and the promises of God, and I love being in partnership with Almighty God. What a great start I have in my Christian life. But the Christian life is not a great start. Peter says, that's not enough. It's not enough for you just to be in this position of the precious faith and the power of God and the promises of God and to be in a partnership. But as a Christian, you're saved for a purpose. Therefore, he says, in every Christian life, we're not only to be in this position, but there ought to be some progression in my Christian life. I'm either going to advance and go forward for God, or I'm going to decline and go backwards in my service to Jesus Christ, even though I had a great start in life. So in the next several verses, in 5-7, he tells us, he says, there ought to be some progression. Now this great start you've had in your Christian life, so he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. There ought to be some vigor. There ought to be some energy. There ought to be some moral courage. Add to virtue, knowledge. In the Christian life, there ought to be some understanding, some insight, some moral discernment. add to knowledge, temperance. In the Christian life, I'm going forward, ought to have some self-control. Add to temperance, patience, and the endurance. Add to patience, godliness, a devoted life of worship. Add to godliness, brotherly kindness. Ought to be able to love the brethren. And add to brotherly kindness, love for the souls of mankind. Now, I pastored for 30 years, and I've always preached from Ephesians chapter 4 that my responsibility in the local church as a pastor, when I teach the word and preach the word, I want men, women, boys, and girls to walk into that local church, and I've got one responsibility. You bring me a heart in, and I'm to take this Bible and mend that heart. Now, you're not going to be spiritual just because you sit in a pew and hear the preaching of the Word of God. You're to bring that heart into local church, let the Word of God mend you, and then once you are mended, you're to go outside of these doors and minister to somebody else, and as you are ministering to somebody else, you'll mature in your Christian life. It's amazing how many Christians think that if I come to Sunday school, come to Sunday morning, come to Sunday night, I'm going to be spiritual. No, you're just going to bring something in here that this blessed holy book will mend you. And once you are mended, if you mend it right, you'll go out and start ministering. And as you minister and take on the responsibility of somebody else, you will mature in your Christian life. Every Christian has the same start. All of us get a good start in Christian life. But the thing that God wants us to do to understand is, not only am I to have this great start in the Christian life, but I've got to progress in my Christian life by adding some things to that so that God can use me for his purpose. And then he says in verse number 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or idle, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, I ought to come to the point in my life, I'm so excited about the salvation I have in Jesus Christ that I want to know more about him. And therefore, with diligent effort, I'm going to progress in my Christian life. And if I do that, I ought to come to the point in my life where I am not barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's something that I want to have in my Christian life. And then he says in verse number 9, where I want us to draw our attention to tonight, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." In other words, in my Christian life, even though I have a precious faith and the power of God is available for me and I have a Bible full of promises and I'm in partnership with Jesus Christ, if I don't progress in my Christian life and start with diligent efforts, adding some things to my Christian life, I will come to the point in my life where I'm not abounding in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to face a problem that many people in good Bible-believing churches face tonight. They're losing their spiritual sight. Now, I wear glasses. And by the way, your pastor does too. And a whole bunch of you wear glasses. You know, my glasses are progressive. I don't know what yours are. But every once in a while, I have to go to an optician because my nose piece kind of get out of whack. And if I tilt my head a certain way, it changes the vision. So I go to Our Eyes, and they adjust them from time to time, and I can see a little better. Every year to 2 years, I go to the optician, and he will dilate my eyes or test my eyes. And every once in a while, at my age, you have to up the prescription a little bit. I have a doctor in my church that's an ophthalmologist. And from time to time, she'll come in and dilate my eyes and make sure they're okay. All of us would do any and everything to see better physically, but many of God's people do very little to see better spiritually. In physical life, my sight may decline. But in the spiritual life, the more I know about Jesus Christ, the more I love him, the more I see what he loves, I want to be able to see a little better. But the problem with missions and the problem with churches today and the problem with us as people today, we're losing our spiritual sight. That's why when you go service after service, people look at slide presentations, they hear testimonies, we're not moved, we're not stirred, because we're losing our spiritual sight. My wife has been an avid reader for many, many years. She used to read, Jeanette Oak and Grace Livingston. She used to read these books religiously. We'd be flying and she'd be reading and reading. So I said to her one day, if you read the Bible as much as you read those books, you're already spiritual, but I can't imagine what you would be like. Well, she took me up on that. She now reads through the Bible 4 or 5 times a year, and every once in a while she'll ask me, where are you reading? She's not concerned about where I'm reading. She just wants to remind me I passed you again. So her eyes were bothering her a number of years ago, and so I took her to the optometrist to examine her eyes, and he says, ma'am, you don't need glasses. You need really reading glasses. So being the good, loving husband that Pastor Haynes says I should be, I decided to buy her a couple pair of glasses. I paid $400 for each pair. Now, that wasn't very bright, but we'll forget about that. But I bought her 2 pair, and of course, reading glasses, she only puts them on when she wants to read, and sometimes when she takes them off, she's not sure where she put them. So she lost the first pair, and I don't know how long it took, and then she lost the second pair, and by that time, I get a little wise and say, you know, it's probably not good to go back and buy another 400 pair. So she said, why don't I go to CVS and just get some reading glasses? They only cost $2.50, $3 a pair. So she goes to CVS and she buys several pair. And of course, she wants to have a pair in the bathroom here and there. She'd leave them all over the place because she only wants them when she reads. So I was on a trip down to BIMI a number of years ago before our Monday night board meeting. We went into a drugstore in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And guess what they had on sale? Reading glasses. And guess what the price was? Not $2.50, not $3, 25 cents a pair. And all of a sudden, quickly, I got to thinking, I need to get my wife several pair of these reading glasses. And it didn't take me long being a numbers guy to calculate that 50 times 25 is $12.50. That's a long way from $800. So I said, sweetheart, how many pairs would you like to have? And she said, 50. She's worth $12.50. So we go and find a site. We pick out 50 pair glasses. Yes, sir. That's why I'm married almost 50 years. All right. 50 pair glasses. One cashier in the drugstore, and she's just singing happy as she can be. And we get up to the counter, and each pair of glasses had a little tag on it with 15 numbers on it. And she had to punch in all 15 numbers on every pair of glasses. Being the loving, sweet, submissive wife that she is, I turned to her and said, honey, the line is getting longer. I'm being called names. How many pair would you like to have? She said, 50. The extremes that we will go through to see better physically, and only gratification I got out of it is she's reading the Bible 5 times a year. Would to God that we'll see a world like Jesus sees the world. Would to God that if I can go to the optician, get the nose piece fixed, if I can go to the optometrist and get a stronger prescription, if I can go to the ophthalmologist and even let him use a laser, why can't I go to the Bible and on my knees and go soul winning and beg God to help me not to lose my spiritual sight? And when it comes to missions, the problem with many of us today is we're losing our sight. We fail to be able to understand that the world needs us to see better in this lost and dying world than I've ever seen before. I need to see every slide presentation, hear every testimony, and say, God, move me, open my eyes, do something and help me to see what Jesus sees. We're losing our sight. So very quickly tonight, I'm going to give you a 5-point examination. And at the end of it, maybe all you need is the nose piece adjusted. Maybe the prescription needs to be strengthened a little bit. Maybe you need to go to the point where you need to have laser surgery. But one thing we need to understand, if I've been saved in a length of time, there's nothing spiritual about seeing less clear in the things of God today than when I got saved. If I am, I'm losing my sight. Now, very quickly, the introduction probably took longer than the message. So let's take this examination. I'm going to get you to help me out. I'm going to turn to a few passages, and I want you to help me look for a word that has something to do with sight. And then very quickly, I'm going to draw a principle, and I want you to follow along. And if any of these things appear in your life or my life, we're losing our sight. Hebrews chapter 12, for the first test of the examination. I believe without a doubt that many of God's people are losing their sight spiritually. As a result, we don't see what the missionaries see. We don't often see what the pastors see. We don't see what we need to see. God, help us to see what the Lord sees. And if I don't see clearly what God's trying to tell me, maybe it's because I'm losing my sight. Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, verse number 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12, 2, looking, hear that word, unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says in verse number 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be wearied and faint in your mind. Here's where I believe we begin to lose our sight. When as a Christian, I stopped looking unto my Savior. You read what the Bible says, what he did. He's the very source of my faith. He's the author and finisher of the faith. He's the security of my future, who for the joy that was set before him, look at what he did. He purchased my salvation, endured the cross, despising the shame. He provides access to God the Father. And the Bible says, when I'm facing something in the life, look at him. The greatest example I'm going to follow today is to keep my eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He went all the way to Calvary for you and for me. Can I go across the street from him? Can I go to another state for him? Can I go around the world for him? After all, look how far he went for me. And I believe many Christians today have forgotten who put them in the position, who saved their soul. And by the way, I see more and more today than ever before, people are less excited about being saved. We're more excited about all the other things that's going in the world. It ought to be that the salvation that saved your soul, delivered you from hell, ought to still get you excited about something today. May God help us keep our eyes on the Savior, looking unto Jesus. When I stop looking unto him, you mark it down, I'm going to lose my sight. Luke chapter number 9. We see sight declines a little bit more. I lose my sight when I stop looking unto the Savior. Jesus here speaking to his disciples. And I want you to notice what he said to his disciples in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse number 57. I lose my sight when I stop looking unto the Savior. In Luke chapter 9, verse number 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Verse 62, look for the word. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I know that I'm losing my sight when I stop looking to the Savior. I know I've lost a little bit more of my sight when, as a Christian who's had this great start in life, this great calling in life, this great opportunity to serve Him, I lose a little bit of my sight when I find myself looking back while I'm serving. I want to keep my eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He made it very clear there's a price for discipleship. It takes service and self-denial and sacrifice and even a willingness to suffer. There are pressures of discipleship. Follow me regardless of your circumstances, regardless of the consequences of life. There are priorities of discipleship. You've got to put me ahead of family, ahead of friends, and ahead of fellowships. And all of a sudden, when you put your hand to the plow and the calling of God upon your life, whatever He's called us to do, when we find ourselves looking back while I'm serving, looking back at the fun I thought I used to have, or looking back at the friends that I broke away from, or even looking back at the failures of life, I'm losing my sight. And maybe I need to go to the optician or the optometrist or the ophthalmologist, because I'm losing a little bit of what God gave me that He wants me to abound in, because He wants me to see a world that's lost without Jesus Christ. John chapter 21, we're losing our sight when I stop looking unto the Savior. I know that I'm losing my sight when I start looking back while I'm serving. I'm looking back at friends and looking back at fun and looking back at even my failures. I'm losing a little bit of my sight. John chapter 21, a very familiar story, Jesus speaking to Simon Peter in verse 15 of John chapter 21. He said, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Verse 20, then Peter turneth about, is the word, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Verse 21, Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I'm losing my sight when I stop looking to my Savior. I know that I've lost some sight when I start looking back while I'm serving. And as a Christian, I know that I'm losing my sight when I start looking around at somebody else. Jesus says, follow me. When I come to a point in my Christian life where what somebody else is doing or what somebody else is not doing, and that determines what I'm going to be doing, I'm losing my sight. Jesus says, focus on me. Keep your eyes off someone else. After all, I never miss anything. I know what you give. I know how you pray. I know how you serve. And don't let this person or that person keep you from doing it. If you're the only one that's going soul winning, go. If you're the only one that is praying, pray. If you're the only one that is giving, give. And don't be influenced by what somebody else is doing and not doing. So many Christian people today stop serving God because they're too busy looking around at what somebody else is doing or not doing instead of looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Two more and then we're done. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I know that I'm losing my sight when I stop looking unto the Savior. I lose a little bit of more of my sight when I start looking back while I'm serving. I lose a little bit more of my sight when I start looking around at someone else. Paul writing to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, look at verse number 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look, it's that word, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm losing my sight when I stop looking unto the Savior and start looking back while I'm serving and start looking around at someone else. But I've lost a little bit of my spiritual sight when I stop looking forward to the spiritual, when earthly things become more important to me than eternal things, I've lost my sight. When I lose sight of the fact that Jesus is coming again, when I lose sight of the fact that I have a responsibility to look unto my Savior and know that it's coming back and ought to be busy, when all of a sudden a job or a career or earthly things become more important to me than eternal things, you mark it down, I've lost some of my spiritual sight. It ought to be in the Christian life that I live for that day when I'll hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And when earthly things, when I'm engaged in the things of this life, and those things become more important to me than the eternal, I have lost my spiritual sight. John chapter 4, when you get here, we're not losing our sight, we're totally blind. Where a lot of Christian people are today. I know that I'm losing my sight when I stop looking unto the Savior and start looking back at friends and fun and things in the past, even my failures. I've lost a little bit of my sight. I lose my sight when I start looking around at someone else and stop looking forward to the spiritual. John chapter 4, the story of the Samaritan woman. Pick it up in verse 29. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I know that I'm losing my sight when I stop looking to my Savior, the author and the finisher of my faith. I start looking back. Jesus tells me, put your hands to the plow. When I look back while I'm trying to look at him, I'm losing my sight. If I'm not careful, I'll find myself making excuses by looking around at somebody else. I get to the point where I stop looking forward to the spiritual. I'm not excited about Jesus coming back. I'm not excited about the fact that one day I'm going to be rewarded for my efforts. But I've lost my sight and I'm totally blind when I stop looking outward for souls. When it comes to a point in my life where I can't lift up my eyes and look on the fields and see that they're white already to harvest. It ought to be in the Christian life, because of what God has done in our lives, it ought to be that every time I walk out of these doors, I ought to be able to try to see what Jesus sees. It ought to be every opportunity I have, I ought to be able to look at mankind. Those without Jesus Christ end up in a place called hell. And by the way, and this is free, I've been in mission conference after mission conference and had 32 consecutive ones in my church, and I've seen every kind of slide presentation. And by the way, I always have slide presentations in our church and missionary testimonies, because I want our people to sense and feel what this world needs. And I've sat in conferences where no matter how much preaching you have, no matter how much slide presentation, how many slide presentations you show, people are not moved, people are not stirred even to give out a tract, to go soul winning, I tell people about Jesus. Now, I believe the problem is, in good, fundamental, Bible-believing churches all over the world, we're losing our sight. And by the way, we had a pretty good start when we got saved. We got put in a position where God gave us a precious faith. And I have access to the power of God. My salvation is eternal, but I have power to live in an ungodly world. And all the promises he's given me in the Word of God. But as a saved person, I'm in partnership with Jesus Christ to reach over 7.3 billion people in the world. And the last thing I need in my life as a Christian is not to be able to see what this book and what my Savior tells me I ought to see, because he is the one that saved me and put me in the position I'm in today. And I need to get my eyes upon him, look at the slide presentation, listen to the testimonies, and say, God, help me. If I need to adjust the nose piece spiritually, adjust it for me. If I need to increase the prescription spiritually, increase it. If I need to get rid of the cataracts, take them away. What I want to see when I read this book, see a slide presentation, hear a message, I want to see what God sees at the point where I'm moved and stirred to give my very best to help reach the lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder today, when you think about missions, you think about tomorrow, you're going to have an opportunity to do something to help reach a lost and dying world. I wonder how clearly we're going to see. I've been saved 30 9 years. And by the way, every day it gets better and better and better. I wouldn't have the time to tell you all the blessings of God in my life. If he did nothing but save me and give me the wonderful family I have and nothing else, it'd be worth serving him till the day he calls me home. And may God help us not to take for granted what we see, what we hear, what is preached, or what I read when it comes to the work of God. We're in a great position. May God help us to progress in the point of our lives, because every man, woman, boy, and girl, if you're not careful, if you stop looking unto the Savior, you can start looking back while you're serving. You'll start looking around at somebody else. Stop looking outward. Stop looking forward to the spiritual. And yes, many people and many churches have stopped looking outward for souls. May God help us to get the eyes spiritually fixed as fast as we will get the eyes physically fixed for the glory of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Maybe tonight, as a man, woman, boy, or girl here, you say, "Preacher, I don't see as clear as I need to see spiritually. Maybe the nose piece, the nose guard on my glasses need adjusting a little bit. Maybe the prescription is not strong enough, because I find myself sometimes looking back while I'm serving, or looking around to see what somebody else is doing. I'm not as excited about looking forward to the spiritual the way I ought to. I don't find myself looking outward for souls in which I'm burdened and concerned about." Maybe you've lost a little bit of your sight, and maybe tonight would be a good time to come to the greatest doctor. He's the optician, the optometrist, and the ophthalmologist, and he's in the business of seeing better than we've ever seen before. May God help us not to lose our sight. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to pray, and then we'll ask the instruments to play, and Pastor will come in a few moments. But I want you to think for a moment. Have I lost a little bit of my sight spiritually? Am I not seeing as well as I should see spiritually in the things of God? And God, help me tonight to not lose my spiritual sight. Help me to see better than I've ever seen before for the glory of God. Father, we thank you tonight for the wonderful privilege. We need to be moved more, stirred more, for what we hear, what we see. Mission conferences are not just times for us to find something to do because we don't have enough to do. It's a time that we need to see. We need to see what the Lord sees. We need to look on the fields. And I pray tonight that you will look down upon the heart of every man, woman, boy, or girl here. If there's some improvement or some need in our lives for adjustments to be able to see better spiritually, I pray you'll speak to hearts tonight, that we may come here to the greatest, greatest doctor one could ever come to, who knows what we need to see and will do a work in our lives. I pray if there be one here tonight who's never been saved, they were spiritually blind and cannot see. And God, help us to realize when we don't see clearly spiritually, we've forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. We belong to you, and you have a work to do in our lives. You bless the invitation now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.